You are following my point. I'm trying to bring out the issue that is a position of authority. You know, these things, they are very real. I'm so happy I gave that example. You see that it's real. It's not just in the Bible. It's a principle of life. It's a spiritual order everywhere. So even before the Bible came here, there were tumbas. Please. So the point I'm making is that, so they wanted to receive authority beside the Lord. And he told them, this kind of authority, smarting now, no problem. But boy, now smarting like elephant too. That is, you have to eat the same food I'm going to. You have to drink the same cup, he said. That is, you will be tried, and you will stand faithful in the face of trials, and then you become a candidate as a deputy for the position of deputy. Now let me say this to you, and that, this is where I'm going coming to talking about this matter of faithfulness in life. Jesus is the king, right, of kings. He's the head of the church. Is that okay? There is the body of Christ. The Bible says that the kingdom of the world, or King James said the kingdoms, they have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Now, this is what I want to understand. When Jesus would tell many parables, he'll tell you that there was a king who went out, and he went and received kingdoms. He received what? Kingdoms. And then he came back. Before he left, you know what he did? He gave what to his servants? Talents. All right? And then, as a result of the talents he gave to the servants, he gave one. That is, there are different parables. There's a parable in which he gave 10, 5, 2, and 1. There was a parable in which he gave 10 to 10, 1, 1, 1. And then the first one took one and came back to the Lord and said, see, the one that you gave me, that's Luke chapter 19, please. My Bible used the word a mina, all right? It said, your mina, that is singular, verse 16, has made 10 more. Then he said in verse 17, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came and said, I have made 5 more. Then he said, for that reason, I place you in authority over 5 cities. And then down the line, let's not bother with the man who buried his own. Maybe until later. The Spirit moves us, we'll get back to it. But this is what I want to understand. This man went out in Luke 19 to go and receive a kingdom for himself. And inside this kingdom, there are cities. Now, but being one person, now in my own teaching today, that is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that okay? Now, if indeed he's going to have the kingdoms of the world, all right, as his own kingdom, inside that kingdom, there will be many cities. Do you get my point? Now, I'll tell you what cities are. Now, because there are many cities, he alone cannot rule over all of them. Therefore, he must have deputies. As I'm talking about deputies, are you getting my point? He will have deputies who will sit on his left and on his right. Now, over each city, a deputy who sits on the right, peradventure, all right, maybe left or right, will be over that city. Now, before he appoints them as deputies, he allows them to be tested. He gives them a little bit and says, go and try and use this. And those who, now, you receive authority over as many cities as you have demonstrated that you can handle by the little thing that has been given to you. Now, let me tell you something. When these guys were trading with one mina each, they didn't understand they were going to receive cities. But their master, having all understanding, said, what you can do with money shows what you can do, all right, with cities. Are you getting my point? You know, on Monday, we shared something here. Because if you read in, Genesis 26, we're studying on Monday, you see that after God blessed Isaac, he blessed Isaac so much that Abimelech and his commander-in-chief came and made a covenant with Isaac. That Isaac promised you will never fight us, because despite the fact that there was so much enmity against you in our land, yet you prosper so much that we recognize that right now you command so much resources, if you decide to fight us, we're in trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, Isaac in effect had received authority. That's what we are saying. And I established then that, you see, now don't forget this, bear this in mind. PDP does not control Nigeria. Listen, Ndidi, Okereke, UK, all right, does not control the capital market. Listen. Dangote does not control the business sector in Nigeria. Let me say this to you. Pascal Dozier does not control Diamond Bank. Look, what's the name of the man of Zenith? Jimovia does not control Zenith. Say, Pastor Bank, what are you talking about? The Bible says the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdoms thereof to whosoever he wishes. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? Olusegun Obasanjo does not rule in Nigeria. The Bible says the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdom over to whosoever he wishes. Listen, the day Jesus died on the cross, listen, and he rose again from the dead. Go and get that tape, that CD that I preached on Easter Monday, the resurrection power, something like that. I explained that some of those things. When Jesus rose up again from the dead, what he was saying in effect is that all kingdoms have been given unto me. That's why I came to disciples and said all power, or literally all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you say, how come he's not controlling each one yet? Let me say it to you. Because before he takes a kingdom in reality, that is in physical reality, he must first appoint a deputy for that kingdom. Do you get my point? Listen, I'm absolutely certain about what I am saying. This nation, because God has been preaching his gospel for years, over the years, what he has been doing is calling. What he has been doing is choosing. And what he has been doing is proving them faithful. Are you getting my point? And everyone who has proved, who has shown himself to be faithful, God said, I will set him in authority over cities. I saw things I said to let you know that if God decides tomorrow that I'm tired of the chairman MD of one particular bank, that I want to remove 60% of the shares and give to one boy who's currently 26 years old, in the next 2 years, he will do it, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop it. He said, when I act, who can hinder it? And as for my outstretched hand, who can turn it back? You know what it means? If I focus my power somewhere, who will be tired if you stand in my way? You get what I'm going to say? If I determine to do something, you can't stop me. See, listen. All that we have been made to do, listen, the reason why I started all of this, because I said Jesus must have deputies. He must have deputies. Faith is not just about sitting at home and praying for food. That is the kindergarten level of faith. You quickly outgrow it when you realize that it is life is not about food and the body is more than raiment. You get my point? You start using your faith, that's what I'm talking about, to deputize for Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? To rule for him. That is what you use faith to do, not to get something for yourself. Everything that people pray for, they are fringe benefits for effective leadership. Do you get what I'm saying? Every ambassador, is all his children on scholarship. You carry a whole family to another country. You think, look, you furnish his house, that is, you give him a house, you give him a car, you give him everything that he needs. And the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. So all those basic things of life, they are fringe benefits. What do you do with faith? You take your position as a deputy for Christ Jesus. That's what you do with faith. So I'm explaining that. So what the Lord is doing actually is proving people faithful. And when they have been proved faithful, then he gives them authority as what? As kings. And he says, you rule over 10 multinationals. That's the way it works. Listen, those days they had cities, all right? What we have now that God is showing his power and authority through, you see, in the matter of economics, you see great companies. That's why I mentioned names like all the people you think that are ruling. Each one of them is ruling because God gave them power to rule for now. You get what I'm trying to say? And you see, Nebuchadnezzar made that mistake once. Having built up a big company, listen, he saw a small nation, he became king, he armed the military, the soldiers, he trained them very well, taught them discipline, he had the best economists, the economy of Babylon was booming. He looked over everything he had done, he said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I have built by the strength of my arms, for the glory of my majesty? God said, mistake. That's what I told you earlier. I read the story of that great industrialist in the world today. After having read the story, I said, this man will die bankrupt except he repents. I have nothing against him personally. He has beautiful business skills. I have used him to preach. But I have also realized that Nebuchadnezzar, no. Once you open your mouth and say, God does not rule in the affairs of men. God, I say, and God says, that one I can't take. I can't take that one. If you kill a man, your neighbor, maybe I can stomach it for a while. But if you open your mouth and say that I am not the one ruling in the affairs of men, that I don't appoint kings on this earth, that I will dethrone you as an example. Do you get my point? So, look, be careful. If you want to say something bad, say it in secret. Do you understand? God will hear and punish you small. When you open your mouth publicly and say, forget, God can't do nothing. Because they look at open challenge. So we shall destroy him publicly. God knew that it would take him 7 seasons to teach Nebuchadnezzar a lesson. So he sent him into madness for 7 seasons. Because he knew that the man, maybe he forgot. After being in maximum security psychiatric hospital for a period, we believe, of 7 years, they gave him food, he refused. Are you getting me? When he's hungry, he would be chewing grass. Listen to this. As he was chewing the grass, he knew this was madness. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, he couldn't control it because God was showing him something. So he was experiencing punishment. That he will see his hands leave his body, go to the ground, and pick grass. He said, no, I want fried rice with chicken. He's saying that in his heart. But in his mouth, from his mouth, what is coming out is, that's what is coming out. In his heart, he said, no, give me potato, petesse, pelete, poluta, the one that came from France. His mouth, what the, I don't know what that means, all right? from his mouth, you are hearing, and his hand goes and sticks grass. And without being able to control it, he chews the grass and swallows it. At the end of 7 years, he said, I'm very sorry. God said, oh, you are sorry. He said, all right, come out. Then suddenly sanity returned to him. And he went back and wrote a decree. And said, indeed, the heavens doth rule in the affairs of men. He said, the Almighty gives a kingdom to whosoever he wishes. Listen, Olusegun Obasanjo does not give the kingdom to whosoever he wishes. He only thinks so. Pilate walked up to Jesus Christ. He said, do you not have the power to release you? Now Jesus said, you think you do. You don't. You are just here because right now, this is the perfect plan. Even if he wanted to release me, you can't. Watch it. You know, Pilate wanted to release Jesus Christ. He could not. You are following the point I'm trying to make. You see, I'm just now going to let you know that if God has decided to set you up, there is nothing anybody can do to stop it. But God said, what am I doing first of all? I'm proving everyone faithful. You are getting my point. I prove them faithful, then I appoint them as my deputies over cities. You get the point? I hope you understand. So what am I going to explain? That so God, if God wants to change something in life, let us assume, for example, you sit down at home and decide that, the other day I was saying that I don't like Cartoon Network. Are you getting my point? I just said that, look, I don't like Cartoon Network. I don't believe that. I mean, if you know you have so much power over children, all right? You know the way children watch. I mean, I don't understand what attracts them to those cartoons. It's not just the movement of colors because proper movies, they get bored. All right? So maybe you decide that, look, this can be used, and that's how life is. Everything that God allows people to invent, be it telephone, computers, televisions, satellite TVs, all right, cartoons, whatever it is, the purpose of God is that it must be used to bless mankind and demonstrate the superiority of the love of God for human beings over all the principles of Satan. Do you understand? But this is the interesting thing about God. Once he has given it to you, he lets you do what you like with it. The righteous one, a holy one, is the one that takes it and consciously seeks out the purpose of God and decides to use that thing for the purpose of God. You're getting the point? So maybe you decide that, okay, I don't like this Cartoon Network the way it is right now. And in your heart, you are an educator of children. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you desire in your heart to use such a great medium to teach children good things in life, to teach them righteousness, to teach them intelligence, to teach them how to honor parents, how to love their neighbor. Are you getting what I'm saying? What God now does is he now gives you little opportunities. I'm not going to go over that one again. Now, we've said it many times. For example, he offers you a job in the nursery school. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It doesn't start, he offers you a job. Show me really you love these children. Start from here. You're following the point. That's how it starts. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is that for God to use that medium, he won't come himself to take it over. No. What he does is to lift up a deputy and then hands the kingdom of men, all right, over to him, just like the Nebuchadnezzar found out. And the way by which he does it, I found out in recent times, the best way to explain it is time and chance begins to happen. You see, you know why God gives you the opportunity? He said something like this. He said that no one lights a candle and hides it under a bushel. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come. Okay? Now, what he's saying is that if light comes to you from the Lord, therefore, God having lighted you will not put you under a bushel. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Therefore, when God has proved you faithful and he has poured his glory upon you, the next thing he does is to take you and literally put you in charge of one city. So this city can be what? Cartoon Network. Why? So that you might, through that international avenue, teach righteousness and love for the neighbor to children. Teach them intelligence. Are you getting my point? So that parents won't mind their children sitting down and being glued to your programs. Knowing that any child that watches that thing for an hour a day comes out more intelligent than those who don't watch it. You are getting what I'm saying? That's how it works. So God gives authority to people on earth so as to do his purpose through them. That's why we read from that Revelation chapter 17. He said, there are 10 kings. They gave their power and their authority to the beast. That is, using their power and authority that they have acquired, they did the purpose of the beast. In the same manner, he said, the ones who are with the Lord, they call the chosen, the faithful, who he called the kings and the lords, what they also do is use the authority that they have acquired by faithfulness to fight the beast. Because he said, the Lamb will overcome them because he's King of kings and Lord of lords. Listen, you know, this is the beauty, as far as I understand it, of Christianity. Satan is not this, you know, this one is all night prayer. We are going to defeat Satan tonight. The Satan you defeat only in a prayer hall. It will cleanse the prayer hall very well. Then you go back to work tomorrow and meet the one you have not yet fought. Do you get what I'm saying? No, are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, God, Jesus has defeated Satan. If you believe that, say amen. If he didn't do it, he would not have been raised up from the dead. Like Derek Prince said in his tape, Aggressive Prayer, that what we are doing is administering the defeat that Jesus has already accomplished. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, now, these Satans, they are ruling kingdoms. What we are doing is kicking them out of kingdoms. Listen, corruption, listen to this. This is prophetic and accurate doctrine. Corruption cannot be ruled out of Nigeria by prayer alone. It's not possible. Righteous kings must reign for corruption to go. Do you understand my point? You can pray from now till tomorrow. The Nigeria police, this and this, they are not well equipped. There's too much bribery and corruption. That one is talk. The day you will know that God has set to do something, watch when he appoints a new IG. Are you getting my point? Who has righteousness in his heart? Listen, it's being a deputy for Jesus Christ we are talking about. That's how corruption gets out of a nation. I've explained this to us before that what rules a nation, what rules people, what makes things move forward, all right? They are the powers of the spirits of people. That is, if God wants something to prosper in the nation, he puts one person, not two, not three, one person that has the strength of spirit to move that thing on and puts the person in charge. You are getting what I'm saying? Now, when that person has received authority, then he begins to use authority. A lot of people are trying to use authority where they don't have it. Ultravirus, right? You're acting beyond your powers. What am I going to say? Just from all things I've said, there is a place in life, now notice this carefully, where God has appointed you as a deputy. That is, whether you walk up to it or not is your personal problem. But the day you were born, God said, this angel said, what do we do with this one? Now, before, when you were hanging, ready to be born. So what do we do with this one? God said, this is what I want him to do. Therefore, send him to the house of so and so person. Say, but that man doesn't have money. Say, it is good. Jesus has to be born in a manger. That is, I'm orchestrating his training. Say, don't worry. I know the kind of problems you have in childhood. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. So we are going to use that. He said, we are going to use that to bring out the treasure inside him. You are following my point? Uh-huh. He said, when that one, then one day we are going to preach to him, that's how it is. We'll send one Pastor Banker from somewhere to go and teach him the gospel. Who was also born with that kind of discussion. Are you getting my point? That I need this guy to go and teach people how to bring out some things. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the words from his mouth jams this guy, and then that fellow answers the call. I said, there are different areas in life where you are a deputy for Christ. Paul said, I'm feeling in my body that which is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus. The first time I heard it, I thought the man was joking, because I heard that Jesus had done everything. Yes, it's true, spiritually speaking. But to bring that thing he did in the heavens down to the earth, then people begin to walk the same steps and paths that he walked. Take the same steps. And then in different areas, that's what I'm trying to say. That is, like we talked about Cartoon Network as an example earlier. I was like, okay, this one I have appointed as my deputy in that field. But you see, I rule in the affairs of men. I don't hand over kingdoms until they have shown what? Their faithfulness. You are following what I'm saying? Listen, this is where I'm going to in all of these things. As far as God is concerned, you are a king in a particular place. And that is the primary area he has given you authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me explain. The Bible talks about prayer. It said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I want to give us an example. Because there are different ways this thing works, all right? There are different scopes, there are different places where we can administer this thing. For example, now, I have a wife, I have children, that is, I have a home. No matter how much you pray, your 10-hour prayer does not have the effect of my 5-second statement in that house. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, if I just utter simple words to my wife, to my kids, or about them, about my home, and you are there praying for 10 hours, and maybe, let's assume you're even a cousin, and you love the house, it doesn't have a fraction of the effect. 10-hour prayer that a 5-second statement would have. It doesn't have it. Why? Because I have been given authority in that home. Now, please, I'm just now to explain something. Sometimes other people exercise authority for people when they don't use it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Then other things begin to come into place. People start praying for you, and because of their love and compassion, you start feeling small effect. You follow what I'm saying? And this, just by the way, those who don't have love and compassion for you can't really pray for you. The prayer is very, very impotent. Yeah. Yeah. You know, say, let us pray for the... Like Derek was saying in that... It's not interesting thing. There are things that you fear, your spirit doesn't gel with it. You don't even know why, but just know it doesn't gel. Once in the church I attended many years ago, it's like... almost 15 years ago, we're having a prayer meeting. So we are going to pray. So a group of people will pray for the work of God in Libya. Libya. Did you hear what I said? Libya. No, I mean that too. I don't mean that as a joke. It was actually Libya that was the prayer point for the day. And I looked to my left and my right. Libya. Libya. And of course, no Christians now. Libya. All right. What's my problem with Gaddafi? No, honestly, I really couldn't understand how I could relate, how we're supposed to relate with the Libyan thing. Oh, try to pray, sir. But I found it very funny. I don't know anybody in Libya. Now, let me just say this. He said, such things don't they ever happen? Occasionally. But for it to happen, those are the times that God puts supernatural burdens upon people. And you see the person actually has a serious and intense feeling for the thing, even though he really can't, he doesn't even know what it's about much. Are you getting my point? Now, so usually when people are not connected to something, their prayers are not potent in that area because they don't have authority there. Let me tell you an example. Just to use this one to explain this point further. Once, a lady, a friend of mine, when we were in Luth, when I was doing my posting in one department, when the office one day we were gisting, and she began to describe something that happened to one of her relations. The man is a police officer in the CID, all right? Criminal Investigation Department.
Okay.
And there was a crime committed in a white garment church. Now listen to this, a white garment church. This man is a good man. He went to go and do his duty in this church. While doing his duty, are you getting what I'm saying? He got converted to become a member of the church. While doing his duty, of course, the duty don't end by this time when he don't become a member. Next thing is that all his salary, he will carry it. Offering time, blessing time, boah. Offering basket. Ah. Wife began to lack. Children began to lack. True gisto. She said that the thing became so serious that the house began to scatter. Yet this man is just following this church, you know. Like that. With all his heart. Now, by the way, this is a fact. This is a fact. Most of those churches, they bewitch people. Paul said, who has bewitched you so that you have departed from the truth? It was not just a statement in anger. It was a statement founded on truth, doctrine. You can bewitch people, they start behaving like mugu. Are you getting my point? Now, why did I tell that story? When she finished telling me the story, I said, I said, tell his wife to see me or one of her children, and I promise you under God, the problem is gone in 24 hours. I guess the lady didn't believe me because is it not banky? You understand my point? We are here together. But God, who I serve, knew I meant what I was saying. The moment she described the scenario, I understood those powers. It was not something that was difficult to handle. I said the thing was pinching me. But you know, you now why did I tell the story? You probably said, why don't you pray there and then? No. She had no authority. I had no authority in the home. But I knew, I had the knowledge of wisdom concerning what to do to solve that problem. And I told her, look, David said, I've killed a bear. I have killed a lion. Listen, if I have time, I'll give you the stories. With such things, we have killed bears before. We had killed lions before. And the moment she told me the story, I said, Jesus, this one too will die. But there's a problem. I need either the man's wife or one of the grown-up children. I don't want a 12-year-old. I don't want a 15-year-old. Give me an adult. I said, 24 hours, that man will wake up. Actually, he'll wake up instantly. You will hear the news in 24 hours. She just smiled. I knew she didn't believe me. It pained me. Do you know why? Before, a friend had come to me, and three of us, all right? The friend and two other people, me and another guy. He had come and told us a story very similar to this, again involving a white garment church. And we had broken that power in one simple statement, and had given thanks for 15 minutes, and that guy had gone home and returned in a week, buying us food and drink to celebrate the deliverance that had taken place at home. A friend of mine told me about how the only brother she had, the only son that her father had, who he loved so much, had begun to misbehave. All the sisters were Christians. They had prayed and prayed and prayed. They didn't know what to do. The moment she told me, I said, small thing. Small thing. We'll handle this one easily. Let me have your hands. We gave God thanks. I broke the power, the bewitching power over that boy's life. Next time I saw him, he was on his way to a camp meeting. He said he woke up one day and said, what is happening to me? I don't believe this. He went up to church. They said, who wants to give his life to Christ? He was the first to jump forward. Do you get what I'm saying? Because then I had understood what he called the authority of the believer. What am I trying to say? I couldn't pray for this other person simply because there was nobody with me who had authority in the home. The first scenario, a son of the house brought up the issue. The second one, a daughter in the home, a grown-up child of the house, brought up the matter. Are you getting my point? In this one, I just, oh, you see solution to a man's problem. And the person is walking away from it. You know how it will be paining you. You have it in your hands. Oh, God. I've never forgotten that story. Because it pained me that this is deliverance. A lot of people you see running up and down, they don't know what's wrong with them. The problem is that nobody with power that has power with God is praying for them. The people that have power with God don't have any tie to them. Even though they prayed hard. And you get what I'm saying? It's so hard for effects to be felt because, you know, you can't conjure up. It's not an emotional thing. It's either you have the tie or you don't have it. But that's not my message. But let me get back to what I'm saying. If you don't love education, for example, it will be hard. If you don't have the reason, okay, to have, for the educational sector of a nation or a city to concern you, all this all-night prayer about it, don't just worry yourself. You have a city that God has appointed you deputy over. Spend your energy there. And pray. That's what Jesus said. Pray the Lord of harvest to send laborers into the other cities. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because, you see, you can't... Direct Prince, I told you to get that city. I hope normal people did. You're talking about aggressive prayer. He said, you can't just be waving that power around like this. He said, it don't have any effect. He talked about persistent, directed, Holy Ghost-inspired prayers, which you put in places where your heart can feel. You know this kind of on the road? Pray for me, all right, pray for you. You know, some people come and say, they come from different places. And sir, pray for us. I don't know how I'm supposed to pray for you. I will probably just lay a hand on you and pray that the good Lord will send an anointing that your faith can connect with by yourself. Do you get what I say? It's different from when I know you personally. We have related. Maybe we have gisted a number of times. I have spoken. My words have blessed you. If you do well in life, it will concern me personally. Are you getting my point? If you now come and say, sir, there is this issue. Please pray with me. When I pray, I am praying like I'm praying for myself. The effectual, fervent, amplifies that heartfelt prayer of a righteous man avails much. What I'm saying is that God, there's a place in your heart, in life, that God has placed a passion in your heart. You know what he wants to do? He wants to make you his deputy in those places. Listen, when you have been called, chosen, and have proved faithful, you will utter simple words. You know, churches will come for weekends praying about a matter. But God's man, God's woman that's in the center of affairs, who is reigning as a king there, when in person, whether in the quietness of her bedroom, or it's just his office, or just a statement to his secretary, he will just utter that, no, the interest rates are too high. They are going to come down. And you see, he will pass. And they will say next day, the fig tree that you cursed have died. There are people praying all night. They are praying all night. But they don't have power there. They have not suffered there. They don't have authority there. Nobody has made them kings or rulers in those places. That's why, listen, you just have to know where you are a king. If you don't know it, God will lead you there as you follow him every day. Do you get my point? Faith is easier for such people because apart from having understanding of spiritual things, you have understanding of physical things and you have experience with you. Do you get what I'm saying? You put those three things together. That is faith unbeatable. You are getting what I'm saying? Once he described George Soros. How many of you have heard of George Soros? He said, the man who fought the Bank of England and won. The man looked at the price of the pound. He said, I can bring it down. So you know what he did? I think he borrowed money in pounds. Okay? Moved it out to Dutch marks or US dollars. And then fought the Bank of England. That's the way he did it. Brought down the price of the pound. Returned the money. That is, by the time he was repaying, the pound was cheaper than when he borrowed. Are you getting my point? In the process, he pocketed $2 billion US dollars. You can see that at home and say, ah! I said, look, listen, I don't know how much faith he has. One thing he had was authority. That is, at his word, the servants were healed. The pound became sick. You understand my point? By then, they found out what had happened. The man had pocketed $2 billion and went out to another case. Listen, I've said before several times, Jesus is not coming tomorrow because all this is church people. They are still weaklings. They are not taking over anything. Servants are ruling. He said, there is an evil I have seen under the sun. Princes, the servants are going, check it, riding on horses. You know what I mean to ride on horses? Dangote will build a company with 300 million naira and sell it for 10 billion maybe 2 years after. And all of us will be rushing. Dangote sugar. Dangote sugar. Dangote sugar. Somebody was analyzing for me the other day that Dangote can pay all the debt he is owing the bank from Dangote sugar alone. You know what that means? All the money of the masses. You know what they call masses? Masses. Contributing 10,000, 20,000. You know, I tell princes to pray. Today, Jesus will answer me today, Lord. I have suffered. You know, I've been living in one bedroom apartment for years. Dear Lord, today, this year is my year of flat. Are you getting my point? You want to have great faith? Listen, I've first established faith is not for eating. That's elementary, kindergarten level. We are talking about faith to affect kingdoms. Jesus never said, if you have faith, you can eat food from the hand of the Lord. He said, if you have faith, you will command this tree to shift and go there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, that's how faith works. You will command this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. It's mountain. Do you get my point? That is, yes, listen, I can pray and pray for the nation. It's good. But if God has not given me personally the authority to tell PDP, scatter. You know, I can pray, scatter, Holy Ghost fire. The thing will hit them like this. They will say, it will be like an annoying mosquito bite. But there is somebody that God will pass through governance. There's somebody that God will pass through the political system who will refuse to soil his hands everywhere. Sometimes at the risk to his life. Are you getting my point? Then one day he will look and say, God, enough is enough. Scatter these people. He may not even say it to God. He'll just say it to one of his friends, this thing must come to an end. And the birds of the air, they pick the words. Are you getting my point? He said, how does it go again in Psalm 103? He's talking about you, his angels, who hearken, is a mighty in strength, who hearken to the voice of his word. It doesn't mean God is speaking. If a man utters the plan of God, that is the voice of God's word. And then the angels draw their sword. Let the next PDP convention hold. May them see now. Who will betide the man who comes early? You see, my time has gone. Maybe I'll finish this thing next week.